Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
I heard so clearly this morning, the Lord said this, it's time to go and to do. I'm going to give you authority in your work. I'm going to give you authority in your community. I'm going to give you authority in your home. As I send you and I activate you, this is a season where my power is going to show up in every place of your life. And I'm going to do amazing things. And I heard some of us say, well, Lord, I'm not ready for that. This isn't the right time. I have problems at home. I have things going on in my life. And the Lord said, surely just as I sent out my disciples and commissioned them to the world, I myself turned around and ministered to their homes, to their village, and to their towns. And I will surely do the same for you. As you step out, I will cover the things in your mind, heart, and spirit that you've been waiting for breakthrough for. I will do breakthrough in your home as you do breakthrough as I send you out. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap.
Amen. Awesome. We receive that, don't we? Hallelujah. God is moving.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, are you ready for the Word of God? There's a teaching outline right next to you on the chair, and just want to welcome you here to the main auditorium. If you're joining us from the cafe, great to have you. If you're joining us online all over San Francisco Bay Area and from around the world, we're glad you're here. We're in a series at Gateway where we've been looking at the subject of the other 6 days. And by that, I mean, you know, Sunday is awesome. But what about the other 6 days? Is the Holy Spirit's power, is God's glory, is the kingdom of God just for church time, or is it for all the time? Last week, Pat Gelsinger really challenged us to see our work life as a place where God would connect with us. How many enjoyed Pat Gelsinger last week? That was awesome. And he taught us how we are ministers, every one of us, 7 days a week. And that's kind of the heart of this series and what we're looking at. God wants to move in our lives, not just on Sundays, but during the other 6 days of the week. That's actually the focus of our conference. You've been hearing now for weeks about our Inspire conference. I haven't introduced yet Sandy Culkin to you. He's a tremendous voice. And he happens to be Jewish, and he happens to be a workplace minister. He's the CEO of People Keys, which is a large, successful company. He's a corporate consultant in the marketplace. So what he does in churches. He's a minister. He's very prophetic. And it wouldn't surprise me but that he would walk up and down these aisles and minister prophetically to different people. That'll be happening next Sunday morning and next Sunday night. But he also is a great example of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit in corporations, in government offices. He is truly a unique prophet, and I really look forward to next week, and I hope that you have registered and signed up. Now, you don't have to sign up for next Sunday for the morning or evening services, but you do need to sign up for the Saturday prophetic call-out ministry times. Every one of you that signs up, if you do that today, because today's the cutoff, if you sign up, you're going to be assigned to a room where you're going to be ministered to individually and personally through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophetic teams are forming and praying. And if you've never had a personal prophetic word, this is your opportunity. That's this Saturday. But you must register. What we're trying to do, all right, by bringing all this up, we're trying to get you activated 7 days a week in the kingdom of God. Not just that, you know, Sunday's great and it's full of power, but every day, God wants a prayer to be fulfilled in your life. And the prayer is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. My message today is entitled, God's Best for Our Work Life. How many of you want God's very best? All right? And the message is drawn from the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, when he said that when you pray, you should pray this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Say the rest with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants his kingdom to come. God wants his will to be done in us. Now, the question becomes, does he want that just on Sundays, or does he want it every day of the week? How many believe he wants it every day of the week, right? So if his kingdom, my question for you is God's kingdom coming in your work world? Is it coming in your home life? Is it coming on your college campus or your high school campus? Are you a part of seeing God's will and his kingdom come? See, today I want to talk to us about four ways that we can look at the other 6 days of the week, all right? We all have a great time on Sunday. It's a glory day. It's a Holy Spirit day. It's a prayer day. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when we go to work and all that, are we really moving forward the way God wants us to? And I want to share four views of those 6 days. And the first one is not such a great view. And this is the view that many Christians have of their work life. It's level number one, I'm just trying to survive my work life. How many have ever felt like that? You've had a really tough job, really tough life. And I want to tell you there's more for you than that. Level one Christians are actually falling short because they're not integrating their faith into their work life. They don't see the principles of God's word as really being relevant starting Monday morning. God's word is for Sunday. We have a good message, you know, we have look at the power of God. But then when Monday hits, we play by a totally different set of rules. God is for Sunday, and the other 6 days of the week, we have to kind of struggle and strive. It's kind of like the sentiment that you get when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 20 and 23. It says, so my heart began to despair. This is concerning work. My heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is what, church? Grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless or empty. It's just so discouraging to think of work in this way. By the way, if you ever need encouragement, don't read the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, actually, I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, because Ecclesiastes is purposely written to reflect what life is without purpose and without God. So when you look at work life without God and without purpose, this is what you get. You get the despair, you get the discouragement, you get the anxious striving, you get the sleepless nights, you get the grief, and I pray that's not how you're experiencing your work week. Because no matter how great Sunday is, if this is your reality, the other 6 days, you need a miracle in your life. You need a major overhaul because you're not living a truly abundant life if it's one day is full of God and the rest is full of grief and sleeplessness. God has more for us, doesn't he? And so we can have purpose and we can have joy and we can get past just a survival mentality at work. We've got to bring our Christian character, our Holy Spirit attitude, our love for Jesus, and make that a part of our life. One guy, it kind of reminds me of one guy. He was just trying to survive, but he wasn't really bringing his faith to work. He had kind of an attitude problem, and he got a pretty high-powered job. He came in on his first day of work, but he wasn't really thinking about being a Christ-like person. He was more trying to just dog-eat-dog kind of survive his work life. So he joins this major company, and on his first day, he just kind of lost his cool. He wanted a cup of coffee, and he picked up the phone to call the receptionist, and he blurted out, hey, bring me a cup of coffee and make it snappy. This is his first day on the job. The only problem was the person who answered the phone was not the receptionist. The conversation went like this. The voice on the other side responded, hey, idiot, you've dialed the wrong extension. Do you know who you're talking to? And so the trainee said, no, I don't know who I'm talking to. He said, this is the managing director of the company, you idiot. And he thought for a minute, and then he decided just to go with it, and he shouted back, "Do you know who you're talking to?" The managing director said, "No, I don't have any idea." He said, "Perfect, goodbye," click, and he hung up. Just trying to survive, man. Just trying to make life work in the workplace, right? Now, here's the thing about level one Christians. And I say that kind of humorously, but here's something I want you to understand. Level one Christians feel powerless and defeated the other 6 days of the week. They really are relying on their flesh. They really are not moving in the spirit or moving in the kingdom. They're not incorporating their faith, life, and work. They're just kind of living the way everybody else works, and they haven't integrated their faith into their work life. And as a result, the experience that those kinds of Christians have is powerless and defeated. And I wish I could say that this was only a few Christians. But I'm here to tell you that it's my experience that a large number of believers absolutely check their faith at the door of their campus or their workplace. They might not admit that. And if I was to test you or give you a quiz right now, you might get the answer right. But many people in this room totally check out of the kingdom starting on Monday morning, and they pick up a different rule book, the rule book which is survival. And the problem with this is it is a very defeated and powerless kind of life. God has more for us for the other 6 days. God has kingdom power for us. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a beautiful verse that I've been just kind of saying this out loud lately, because it's such a faith builder to realize I can do all things through Christ who strength. Would you like to say that together and just kind of, let's do that. Let's say it out loud together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means I can do Monday morning at work, and I can do it well, not just get through it, not just survive it, but actually experience a life-giving flow and an abundant life in my workplace. Let's believe for that. Let's believe for Christ who loves us, Christ who died for us, Christ who gave himself for us, not that we could have victory just one day a week, but victory 7 days a week. Amen. Now, the second area, or the second level, the second way we can look at life the other 6 days is a little bit better than the first level. And this level goes like this: I'm using Christian principles in my work life. Now, at first you think, well, that sounds really great. This is exactly what we should be doing. But I'll say this to you. There is more than even Christian principles in your work life that God has for you. See, level two Christians are ethical people. They're principled people. They do the right things at work. And while they do the right things at work, which, believe me, is a key, we don't want to be, you know, bearing the name of Christ in the workplace and sinning and setting a terrible example. Principles are important, and ethics are important in the workplace, and our witness is important, but still at level two, something is missing. The picture isn't quite complete. And so we've got to press a little bit further than that. Let's talk about that. See, a lot of believers are at this level. They're basically good Christians. They're not living terrible lives, and they have some principles that they're committed to in their work life and in their home life, but they're not truly, truly dominating it. They're not truly overcoming. They're not really tearing it up in their Christian life or in their work life. They're just kind of holding their own. Let me say this. Level two Christians experience kind of like a very roller coaster life, all right, at work or at school. Some days are great. Some days it just seems like the sun is shining and the boss gives you a nice pat on the back, you know, or maybe you get a promotion or you get that corner office or, you know, whatever. Everybody stays out of your way, whatever it is, then it's a high. But then you go through kind of a difficult time at work. And how many have ever faced difficulties at work, all right, as a Christian? Man, I mean, I'm living my life by Christian principles. I mean, I tithe and I'm still having a hard time at work. I pray the Lord's Prayer and I'm still having a hard time. What's going on? We hit challenging times and we think because we've got the principles in our heart that somehow we shouldn't face tribulations or trials. So somebody comes along and says, listen, I'll make this really easy for you. Let me give you the three principles of success in the workplace. 1, 2, 3. You got it? I got it. And then you go back to work and you use the principles. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. We're very principle-oriented people. And for heaven's sakes, I'm a teacher of God's word. I love principles. I love principles. But principles by themselves are not enough to get you into God's best for your life. It starts with principles. It starts with truth. But there's more that we have to experience. So the roller coaster experience is sometimes we're doing great in our work life and sometimes we're doing terrible in our work life because basically we are expecting the principal to do the job for us instead of the one who authored the principal living on the inside of us. Christianity is not practicing good ethics and good principles. The golden rule, that's a good rule. And we should use it at work, and you should implement the golden rule at work. But just because you believe the golden rule doesn't mean you're going to kill it at work. You're still going to have problems. And so you have to know and walk with the author of the golden rule if you really want to have a dynamic and abundant Christian life. Let me share a couple of scriptures with you that flesh this out. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12, the writer of Hebrews says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. What's he saying there? That principles are not good? That's not what he's saying. He's saying you need someone to teach you the principles, but he's saying you can't go any further until you get these principles down, but there is somewhere else that you need to be going. And because you're a roller coaster Christian, you're up and down, you need to go back to the principles and start a process all over again. The process does not end with the principle. The process just begins when you learn the principle. And he puts it in this terms. He said, you're like a baby drinking milk instead of an adult eating meat. Now, let me just challenge you about your Christian faith in general. God wants you and I to mature and become strong adults in the kingdom of God. We've got this beautiful new granddaughter. Her name is Chloe, and we got to visit with her last night, and she is just, I mean, we love her, but she's 6 weeks old, and baby, when she wants the milk, she lets you know it. How many of you have ever had a small baby like that? When she gets hungry, she wants it now. And if she doesn't get it now, guess how she's going to start acting? She's going to start crying and screaming. You say, well, she's a little brat. No, she's not. She's an infant. She's a baby. And she wants the milk. And then when she gets the milk, she's just as content and happy as it. And it reminds me of a lot of Christians. A lot of people, when they get what they want, oh, God is good. They're just full of, oh, I feel the presence of God. I just love it. Oh, life is good. I feel Jesus in this place. Because why? Because you got what you wanted. You got something that satisfied you. But see, that's baby behavior. And while principles are good, if you go to the workplace and don't get what you're wanting, you have a choice of how you're going to deal with that. An infant deals with that by getting frustrated and angry and upset, saying, I want my milk. But a son or a daughter, mature as the scripture describes, deals with it a totally different way. Let's go a few verses past Hebrews 5:12 and look at Hebrews 6:1. Here's where we're going with this. Hebrews 6:1. We must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to what? Maturity. Circle that word, maturity. This is the goal for you. The goal for you and I is not to be satisfied in any given moment. That's baby Christianity. And principles will get you going. But if you look at a principle and say, now, if I use this principle, I'm going to get immediate results, then you're going to get frustrated. Here's the four ways to financial blessing. Here's the seven steps to affair-proof your marriage. And here's the seven principles for healing. And you do every single one of those principles. Nothing wrong with a principle, right? But when it doesn't happen, the minute that you want it, it frustrates you. And what God is saying is, look, it's good to get the principles, but how about walking with the God of the principles? How about coming to learn from me and growing up and understanding there's more than just instant gratification in your work life and in your home life? There's more than that. What God has for you, what God has for every single one of us, is a life of maturity and satisfaction that come from knowing him. Can I have a hallelujah here this morning? All right. So we want to use Christian principles in our work life. Nothing wrong with that. But there's progressing beyond those principles, progressing beyond those precepts into a life of maturity with Christ. To get really strong, we have to move past the basic milk of Christianity into strong, mature relationship with Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's the next step for some of you. Some of you in this room, You're frustrated. You're just like little baby Chloe. You're trying to get God to give you what you want right now. And God is saying, listen, I have more for you than just that little momentary satisfaction. I'm raising you up to be a son. I'm raising you up to run things. I'm raising you up to be an influence. I need you to be strong in this way. All right? And it's not that God doesn't answer prayers. He does. But you can't beat God up with his own principles. You can't force God to do what you want him to do because you learned the three ways to favor or the seven steps to healing. How many understand what I'm saying? It's not the principle, it's the God of the principle that we want to serve and that we want to know. So that brings us to the third level, the third way we can look at these other 6 days of our life. First way is, you know, I'm just trying to survive. Second way is, hey, I'm basically a good person, I'm ethical, and I try to use, you know, the right principles at work. Well, here's the third way, it's better. That is, I'm flowing with the Spirit of God in my work life. I'm including the Holy Spirit's power. I am welcoming his presence into my work life. God's presence doesn't stop for me on Sunday. It goes 7 days a week. This is what I call a level three Christian. And a level three Christian is tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer, the gifts of the Spirit, the presence of God, the experience of God, not just on Sunday, but in their everyday life. Their home is a place of prayer. Even the workplace is a place of prayer. I'm not talking about, you know, telling everybody in the office, let's grab hands and start our day. I mean, if they're all believers, that's great. But I mean, including the presence of God as you go to your work site, as you go to your lab, as you go to your classroom, whatever you fill your day with, take the presence of the Lord with you. Jesus said this, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow, everybody say flow, will flow rivers of living waters. Wouldn't you like to have rivers of living waters in your home life and in your work life? Wouldn't you like to have that 7 days a week? Or do you think this verse is just for Sundays? Is this verse just for revival meetings? Is this verse just for special conferences? No, you're supposed to be experiencing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit every day of the week. Your life is supposed to have a flow to it. Your life is not supposed to be a constant tension, a constant battle, a constant conflict. You know, a river flows. When it hits a tree or it hits a rock or it hits a barrier, it just moves right around it. God wants you to have a work flow, an anointing for your day job, not just an anointing for the prayer meeting, so that when you come to work and you encounter a problem which is going to make a spiritual infant frustrated, right? But because you're a son, you're a daughter, you go, okay, you know what? I handle problems for a living. This is actually why I'm paid. I understand how it works. I go to work to solve a problem. The problem is an uneducated child, or a piece of equipment that's not made, or a machine that needs to operate correctly. Whatever you do in your life, you're solving problems. That's your value in the workplace, right? Now, let me ask you this. How much more joy would you have in solving problems in life if you could have the flow of the Holy Spirit working with you as you did that? Now, Lord, how do I deal with this cranky customer? Lord, how do I deal with this broken piece of equipment? Lord, how do I deal with this management challenge? Because I'm basically paid to handle things, to solve problems, and I need your help so that I don't get uptight and frustrated and angry and want to pitch the problem to somebody else. Right? We're not paid, if we're working, we're not paid to pitch the problem to somebody else. That's the way it is sometimes in church. We have the ministry of referral. Okay, can I pray for you? Yes, I'm having a little, I don't talk to people about that problem. You need to go to. So it's like one big constant referral. Nobody's getting their need really met because nobody's actually dealing with the problem. They're just shoveling it off onto somebody else's plate. And when you do that in the workplace, you're not going to be well compensated. I said, when you do that in the workplace, you're not going to be, well, I couldn't handle this because of that, and I couldn't handle this because of that, and I didn't have enough time for that, but where's my paycheck? Here's a better way. If you want to prosper, be a problem solver in the workplace. Be a problem solver and use the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with that issue. Don't just kick it back to your boss or kick it over to your coworker and say, all right, you know, I'm not equipped for that. I just want, I want my milk. It's time to grow up, church, and grow up in the marketplace and grow up in the ministry place and grow up in the kingdom by being filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate problem solver. Check out Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The babies of God? The sons, the full mature sons. Do you believe that God wants to lead you in your work life? Sure he does. Sure he does. He wants to lead you to the ways of succeeding and the ways of being blessed and the ways of solving problem that your work life requires. Being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Level 3 Christians, write this down. Level 3 Christians are consistently empowered. They're not on the roller coaster. They're not on the feelings treadmill. One minute they're happy, next minute they're frustrated and angry. Level 3 Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, moving in the Holy Spirit, integrating the leadership and the influence of the Holy Spirit in their life. God helps them solve their problems. God helps them stand up to challenges, right? Those people are consistently empowered. Can I ask you a question about the greatest challenge of your life right now? I want you just to think about the greatest challenge, the greatest issue you're facing at work, in your family life, because I know you have some big issues. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I need your wisdom on this work issue. I need your wisdom in this family issue. This is not a theological problem. Lord, what would you lead me to do? And begin to make that a matter of prayer and watch how God empowers you to get the victory in that issue. You make those issues a matter of prayer. You make them a matter of faith and trusting God. Really, the other day, Pastor Mike and I had a decision to make. You know, some of this justice stuff we're working on, we don't know what's coming next. We're dealing with politicians, we're dealing with lawyers, we're dealing with all this stuff about justice. We're trying to get this thing done. We hit a wall, and I said, Mike, let's just take 24 hours and pray. We don't have to do anything right now. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us. And I think within 24 hours, we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. When you hit a problem, when you hit a block, just stop and invite God to help you handle that challenge, right? Then you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and you are going to win every single time. Are you getting anything out of this? Be consistently empowered. And if you're frustrated in your work life, it may be because you're trying to force things either in your own timing or ahead of God, or you're not using spiritual power You're just using natural power, and you're so frustrated and so discouraged that you're not moving forward. Hey, stop right there. Build an altar, fast a day or two, and say, Lord, I need a spiritual breakthrough. I need your wisdom on this. And you watch how faithful the Lord is. He loves you so much. He wants to guide you. You watch it, how faithful he is to bring empowerment to your work life for the other 6 days. Okay, here's the last level. And level three, believe me, that's a good level to be integrating the Holy Spirit. But here's the fourth and best way. Now, remember we said we're talking about God's best for our lives. This is it in the work life. I'm extending God's kingdom the other 6 days. I'm not just barely surviving. I'm not just living on, you know, good Christian principles. I've even gone past integrating the Holy Spirit's power in my work life. And to help me, I'm actually becoming a blessing to be involved in transforming the world around me in my work life. This is the ultimate. This is God's best for our work life. This is the level. This is level four Christian faith at work. This is where we're being used by God to change our world. Not to just deal with it or survive it, but to transform our world, to establish his kingdom order and his will during the other 6 days. This is the level that Jesus was describing when he said, when you pray, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. That's not a Sunday prayer. That's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday prayer. Let your will be done in my family. Let your will be done in my coworkers, in their lives. Let me shine in my workplace, not just keep my mouth shut and do my job and keep my head down and just try to survive it. No, God, I'm expecting not only a paycheck, not only a job, but I'm expecting you to use me today. Because I'm full of you now, and I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Level four Christians, what are they doing? They are transforming their world. This is what you were born for. This is what you were created for. You weren't created to just barely survive and grab a paycheck. Listen, if that's your life 5-6 days a week, there is no way that we can call that abundant. There is no way we can call that's the abundant life. No. God wants you to be involved in changing the temperature all around you through the power of the Holy Spirit by loving people and by serving God in your workplace. Level four Christians are transforming their world the other 6 days. Now, let me clarify a couple of things before we pray and wrap this message up. We talk sometimes about ministry as though ministry only takes place in a church building. And I want to break that fallacy. Ministry is doing for the Lord whatever you do with all your heart as unto the Lord. So raising your children can be ministry. Work can be part of your ministry. Being a good neighbor can be a part of your ministry. This is all about your worship before the Lord. But there's a few misconceptions on this. And there are a few people, and I've heard people say, and I always want to just kind of bite my tongue. It's not like a huge deal, but the teacher in me wants to make sure we really get this right. I don't particularly believe that it is a right statement to say, I have a job and my job is my ministry. Therefore, I don't serve in the church. Therefore, I don't help with children. Therefore, I don't get involved in missions. I don't share my faith. I'm a secretary at IBM and that's my ministry. Well, I say, you know, I'm not sure that's the full, complete picture of what God wants us to have. I know for sure that if you go to your boss and you say, look, I'm not here to type letters for you. This is my ministry. I'm pretty sure you're going to be looking for a job really soon. So let's make sure this is clear. Your job, your work life, your employment is a part of your worship before God. But that doesn't mean because you went to work that you don't have to lift your hands on Sundays and worship God. Does anybody agree with that statement, right? And it's the same with ministry. Work is a part of our ministry. It's a part of our life. Every day we're doing it as unto the Lord. But we can't say, now I've done my ministry because I went to work. Because there's a lot of ministry yet to be done. A lot of the kingdom that needs to be established. So we don't want anybody to feel overwhelmed with ministry, but I want you to think of yourself as more than just a worker in the world, and that's your ministry. Because God's given you spiritual gifts. God's given you a destiny. So you do your job with all your heart and then find out what other kingdom assignments God may have for you and really engage with purpose. And don't come to your boss and expect your boss to cooperate with you as though you're there to do your ministry. Because though you may see this before the Lord, you're there to do your job. Can I have a good amen? You know what? Christian people should be the best at what they do. They should honor Christ in the workplace by doing a great job for their boss, by being honest, and by being good people to their families and having the right ethics and having the power of the Holy Spirit and also allowing the Lord to use them to minister life to the people around them as best as they can. Now, level four Christians. R.G. Letourneau, he made this big discovery in his life, kind of like an aha moment. This was in the early 1900s, I think somewhere around 1930. He was a businessman from Texas. He had a big tractor and tire company. And he loved the Lord, but he didn't really feel like he was a minister. And one day his pastor said to him, you know, Brother Letourneau, God needs Christian businessmen as much as he needs missionaries and preachers. And that was like a cannonball in Letourneau's heart. He thought, wait a minute, I had it wrong. I thought that if you really, really, really want to serve God and you love him with all your heart, you should be a missionary. And if you love him a lot, but not quite as much as a missionary, you could be a pastor. And if you love him as much as a pastor, but maybe just a little bit less, you could be like an evangelist or an elder or, you know, somebody that works at the church. But me, I didn't think that I could be serving the Lord doing what I'm doing. But something flipped in his mind when he realized that God needed Christian business owners just as much as he needed church pastors and everybody else. And this is what we're coming to. There's not a hierarchy of people that do church ministry and church jobs and professional ministry, and then down here is the regular people. All of us are called and empowered by God. All of us need to see what we are doing as service to the Lord, and that our life can be lived for Jesus 7 days a week. And Letourneau, he became one of the great Christian voices in the 20th century, explaining to people. It was kind of like him and a few others that started the whole marketplace ministry movement, where people began to understand, I can be a Christian, a strong Christian in the marketplace. I think we should learn from people like Letourneau. God isn't looking for just more missionaries, more preachers, more evangelists. He's looking for every single one of us to serve him 7 days a week, using our gifts with all our heart and all our soul. God wants you to live with divine purpose. He wants the best for your work life. He wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done in your life. Will you accept that challenge? Will you allow scriptures to apply to your life 7 days a week? The power of the Holy Spirit to apply 7 days a week? Will you move past maybe the milk and move to the meat of really, truly serving the Lord? The worship team is going to come, and I want us to take a few minutes here to pray together, to ask the Lord to empower us. And I want to leave a couple of challenges with you this morning. First of all, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've got Jesus kind of in a little Sunday box somewhere, you've got him on a Sunday shelf in your life, and you say, well, you know, I pray on Sundays, but you've never really, truly opened your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you to do that today. I want to challenge you to open your heart completely to Christ, who loves you and will give you an abundant life every day of the week. And then I want to challenge those of you that are facing real discouraging times in your work life. You're up against problems. I want to challenge you to invite Christ to take every part of your life And this is the song we're going to sing. Kind of like a prayer. Lord, I give everything that I am to you. Take my whole life. And as you do that, I would just like you to sing and kind of make that your prayer. And I want you to visualize, just imagine your workplace, your neighborhood, the bigger picture of your life, not your Sunday life, but your whole life, and really give your heart and life to Christ. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing. Father, I pray right now for your people. Lord, I know the challenges that a hectic world can serve up. I know the brutality of tough work environments where there are spirits of discouragement, problems on every hand, major, major challenges. And Lord, we're facing a world like this, and you've placed us in this world. And I'm asking God that we would begin to see a major turning in our lives, Lord. I pray for people that have never truly opened up their heart, or maybe there's somebody in this room that's kind of slidden back from that place of loving you, placing you first in their lives. Lord, we open our hearts to you. And God, we open our work lives to you. And we ask you to come in and help us with every problem, with every challenge, and with every need so that we can serve you every day of the week, bringing honor and glory, seeing your kingdom come and your will being done in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord with me. Jesus, we give you every problem. We give you every need. We ask, Lord, for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, brand new, fresh grace, Lord, for our work lives. Lord, I speak a fresh anointing. Lord, I speak that the rivers will flow in our lives this week, Lord. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Lord, I pray that you would overwhelm us, Lord, in times of problems, that, Lord, your rivers and currents would lift us and carry us, Lord, to solutions and power. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will come and your will would be done. We surrender our lives to you completely, Lord. We ask you to fill us with fresh life and power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now, I want you to say a prayer with me. This is a victory prayer. This is a confession prayer. It's a prayer that says, Lord, I haven't done this perfectly. I really need you, but I want to make a fresh start. This is a prayer that says, Lord, I want your best in my life starting today. And I know that's the prayer of your heart. And I'm not sure maybe where you're at in your spiritual journey. Maybe you've never come to a church service before. Here's a prayer you can pray. You can reach out to God. Maybe you've been serving God for many, many years, but the life is just kind of slowly drained out of you. Would you lift this prayer to God and really mean it with your heart? Come on, let's say it together. Father God, thank you for revealing your best for my life. I confess that too often I've been discouraged, powerless, and inconsistent. Jesus, today I choose to trust you. Save me, teach me, and flow through me. Say it, use me for your glory, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, now, the prayer teams are going to come. I just want to invite a few elders and prayer leaders to come. Just two things before you leave while they are coming. First, I want you to sign up for the conference. I really hope that you will receive prophetic ministry this Saturday. This Saturday and Sunday is the conference, so here's your chance. Go in the lobby and sign up. And then we have about 30 brand new people in our church that are committing to Gateway as their home church, and they're becoming a part of that. We're going to have lunch together, and so I want to invite them to go right now to the room where they've been instructed. It's off to my left, down the hall. You'll see the sign, the Welcome Visitors Lunch. God bless you, everybody. If you need prayer, come on forward. The folks will pray with you. See you Saturday for prophetic callouts.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.